All right, Hevra, coming back in. Welcome back to TNT. We will be continuing with our study, Parsha Vayera. I hope that everyone is well and Mirtz Hashem getting set up if they're eligible for vaccines and comfortable doing so, that you're moving ahead with that part of this process, so that one day we can be back together again. But until then, this will suffice. So, amen. Thank you, Chani. So I'm going to share the screen and move us to the end of Parshat Shemot. I'll tell you why we're going to the end of Parshat Shemot, because there's a bit of a cliffhanger here in the Parsha that leads into Parsha Vayera. So what happens is Moshe, is told by God, all right, you're gonna go and it's gonna be great. And, he may not send you immediately, but he'll listen to you. The people will listen to you. You're gonna be, it's gonna, it'll be, you'll have a, the run of the mill. It'll be a good, easy process. And Moshe gets there. People listen to him. The people agree with him. They're ready to roll. Problem is, he goes in front of Paro, and Paro's like, "Who the heck are you?" Right? And who is this guy? Who let him in? And he makes the work harder on the people. And the people, of course, as good Jews do, they turn on their on Moshe. Well, what have you done? There's the end of Parshat Shemot, Perek Hey, chapter 5, and they encounter them, right? They accost them, Moshe and Aaron, as they left Paro. God's gonna punish you. You guys are in for it, because Faro, now things are worse for us, and Paro's mad at us. He's going to kill us. So Moshe goes back to God. It's really amazing, right? He doesn't go and scream at the people. He goes back to God. And he says, "God, what have you done? Vayomar, why have you brought this harm on these people? Lama ze shlachtani? Why did you send me at all? From the moment I came back to speak in your name, God, hey Rala Amazeh, it's gotten worse. Oh, and you talked about a salvation? No, you haven't done anything." It's unbelievable, right? This is a real leader. Moshe going back to God and arguing with God on behalf of who? On behalf of the people. After the people turn on him, Moshe turns up to God and says, "God, come on. It's not okay. What have you done to these people? Come on. It's not about him, right? It's not like, hey, God, give me a break. Or, what have you done to me? Everyone's mad at me." It's not what he says. He says, "The people are suffering. What have you done to them? Why are you doing this to them?" That's real leadership. You haven't saved your people. God, you sold me a raw bill of goods. I'm sorry. Not good. That's how the Parsha ends. Unbelievable. It's like literally at the darkest point you could get, right? It's like, they're throwing tomatoes at Moshe and Aaron as they leave Paro's palace. And then Moshe, is screaming at God. That's how it ends. And now comes Parsha Vayera, this week's Parsha. Vayomer Hashem, sorry, one more pasuk. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, ata tireh, asher yaseh lefaro ki biyad chazak yishalchem, uviyad chazakah yigarshem me'artzo. So then God answers back. It's a different perek, but as we talked about, right, the prakim aren't what counts. It's the parshiot that count, right? Those are what we created. Hashem answers Moshe back and says, "No, you'll see what I'm gonna do, Paro. It'll be good. Trust me." Okay, that's nice. And then it ends. God speaks to Moshe, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. And he says to Moshe, Ani Hashem. An interesting ha'ara I'll just bring up is as follows. The Kliyakar says, God, why does it say Vayedaber Elohim El Moshe? Like, look at the pasuk right before. Vayomer Hashem El Moshe. Like, why does it say again? Vayedaber Elohim El Moshe, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. So the Kliyakar sort of makes a juxtaposes God's name, Ani Hashem, I am God, right? God's name, and notice the difference, the Elohim, right? The God of Din or judgment, the God of nature, versus Hashem, the infinite God, right? The God of mercy, of compassion. And that's Hashem, Ani Yahweh V'Yihyeh. But he juxtaposes God's name with Moshe's name. And why did the Pasuk, like, you know, reiterate Moshe's name? Why does God reiterate? Because by Deber Elohim El Moshe, Moshe, remember who you are. Think about your name. What does your name mean? Anyone know what Moshe's name means? Good. Correct, right? The Egyptian name means to draw out of the water. Interestingly, the Kliyakar points out the grammar, Rashi, I think, mentions it over there as well, that naming him Moshe, his name really should be Mashui, he who was pulled out of the water. He who was, right, in the past. Moshe actually is present. Moshe, you are a puller out. You're a deliverer. You were delivered. You were pulled out and you're going to deliver. Trust me. You forget your place, Moshe. You can do this. This is going to happen. It's going to happen through you. Just as sure as my name is Hashem, whereby anything and everything is possible, right? That's the name of Hashem, Yudke Vavke, the infinite God, the you know, who's omnipotent and omniscient and so on and capable of everything. So too, Moshe, you forget your name. You're a deliverer. You're a puller out. It's going to happen. Have faith in me and have faith in yourself. We're going to do this and we're going to do it together. Okay? It's a beautiful idea. And then it says, Vayera el Avraham el Yitzchak vel Yaakov be'el Shaddai, Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob with the name Kel Shakai, Shin Dalad Yud, right? Like the like what we have on our mezuzahs, right? And it comes from the word She'amar Le'olamo Dai, who said to his world enough, meaning it's a God that's constricted within nature. God, you worked within nature. God says, I worked within nature when it came to dealing with the Avos. Ushmi Hashem monodati them, but I never really showed them the full raw power of my name, of my infinite name. Meaning there were no great, you know, incredible miracles that were wrought, right? Oh, well, yeah, Sarah had children, you know, at age 90. There's a beautiful Ramban that talks all about this. God worked within nature. God worked, yes, she was very old, yes, but she actually started, she had been menopausal, and according to the Torah and Parshas Vayera and Rashi there, right, that, well, but it's really in the Psukim, she started having her period again, right? She started being able to give birth again, almost like, you know, my grandmother talks about, Zichrona Levracha, how after the war in the DP camp, she was very sick, and after Bergen-Belsen, and she talks about how she couldn't have, you know, she had stopped, her cycle had stopped, and she told my grandfather, who wanted to marry her, go find someone else. I can't even have children. Her period stopped, right, because of, you know, the malnutrition and all of the hardships she dealt with, and she was sick on top of it. He said to her, if you agree to marry me, this is while she's in her sickbed in a DP camp, if you agree to marry me in that zechus, in that merit, you'll see, you're going to get better. We're going to be okay. Don't worry. She agrees to marry him. she starts getting better, but she still wasn't able, you know, she her cycle hadn't returned. She said literally a month before her wedding, she started her period returned, right? I'm here because of that, right? So it's Hashem working. Yes, it's miraculous, but it's Hashem working through nature. And at the end of the day, sure. I think, right, Lafia Niudati, as they say, according to my humble opinion, Hodati was, it would mean to show. Nodati means to make known. So there's a difference there. Right. It's a great point. One thing I would say is that I think what you're saying is yes, Vayikra b'shem Hashem, they related to him in that way, but Hashem didn't necessarily reciprocate in that way at that time. That would be the best way I could understand it. But the Kliyakar might answer some of your questions, because the Kliyakar now is going to analyze this difference. What does this mean? Shakai, you know, this Shindalad Yud thing versus Hashem and vis-a-vis the Avos. So we'll get a few answers. You might like them, might not, but I think that's a very plausible way to look at it, is how they saw him versus how Hashem, you know, still had a little bit of a veil fully uncovered when revealed in the Mitzrayim story. Correct. Yes. Yes. Okay. So let's see the Kliyakar. We're going to see a couple of answers. He gives several answers, and we're going to see two of them. Okay. Va'ira el Avraham. So he's darshaning this pasuk. He tchil b'lashon re'iya, v'siyem b'lashon yediya. If you notice, right, it says, I appeared to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in such and such a way. Ushmi Hashem lo nodati, but I didn't make known to them, right, this name. So kihayil alomar ba'eirayil Abraham v'gomer ubishmi Hashem lo nireti lahem. It should have either you know, be consistent. Choose, I appeared and then I didn't, you know, show this. Ohayil alomar va'oda, or say no, va'ivada, that I, you know, made known to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov ushmi Hashem lo nodati. Why does it say Va'era, to see, and then use a different verb of to know? Ve'akor le'lo marbezeh. Shaloshon re'iya more yoter al beirur hadavar milashon yediya. That re'iya, sight, is something that is representative of a clearer encounter than that of yediya. Ki yeshlacha yediya b'davar hanikar. You could know something, right? That's something that's a known thing. This is a known fact. This is a known idea. I can recognize this. V'noda b'mofet mitzad ha'hekesh ha'sichli, asher yipol bo ha'ta'ud. And it might, you know, sort of come about through some way of compare, some intellectual comparison, you know, that I could, oh yeah, it's kind of like this. O al yedei shmi'a sheyipol ha'kazav bo. But those things are, even when you say, oh yeah, it kind of could be something like this, or it's, oh yeah, I've heard of something like this, that could be erroneous, right? You could be mistaken there. But it's one thing to describe something and understand it versus to actually see it and experience it, right? That's like, you know, seeing is believing. tov mikulam, ki lo yipol b'davar hanireh shum ta'ut o kazav. When it comes to something that you actually see, you know, there is no mistaking what it is, right, and what it isn't. V'teda kishem, I mean, obviously, the human mind can still play games with us, but, you know, we're talking about someone who's sincerely connected to his or her faculties. V'teda kishem shel shakai, shin dalid yud, more al shem shakadosh baruch hu amar le'olamo dai. That represents the idea of the name of God who said to his world, enough. What does that mean? V'al shem sheyomar dai litzarasa. This is a really novel interpretation. The concept is die. When do you say die? Not die. Die, right? In Hebrew. What? When do you say enough? When do you say that? In that way. Not die dayenu. I mean, die or genig. What? Exactly. What does that mean? Good. Stop it already. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, die, enough. We get it, Hashem. You're in control. Everyone should have the vaccine tomorrow. Zehu, let's move on, right? Zachala, right? That's what we say. Die, enough. And that's what he's saying. He's die litzaratam. Kamo sheperish Rashi al pasuk tekel shakai yitain lachem rachamim. As Rashi explains the pasuk that kel shakai. So this is in Bereishis, Alan, interestingly, right? This is from, I think this is Yaakov. Is this Yaakov talking to his sons? I think. Anyways, but here you see God's name as Shakai. V'yadua sha'avur hayu kol yimei mach'ovim orubam. He says, let's call a spade a spade. The avos and imahos suffered. They had difficult lives. They weren't on an easy street. Every aspect of their lives, they dealt with tsaras. Ki Avram ushlach lekivshan. Avram's thrown into a furnace. Halach navinad, and then he's a wanderer. Right? You think it was such a glamorous life he's living. He's a wanderer. He didn't even settle in the cities. He had to settle outside the cities. Vinil kachishto, and his wife is taken when he goes to Egypt. V'chein leYitzchak. We know what happened to Yitzchak. Poor Yitzchak. Right? The old Satmu Beirotav, and then after what happened to him, Nebuchadnezzar, the Akeda, they're stopping up his wells by a Ger Ba'aretz, and he's a stranger in his own land. The Yaakov, he says, don't even get me started. And Yaakov Yoter Pashut Mikulam. Hello. Like, need I say more? Yaakov. He had a tough life. Yaakadosh Baruch Hu Amar. Die litzarot kulam. God said to them, you know what? Enough to your travails. Enough to all of your stresses. Enough to all of the tzaras that I gave you. V'zeh davar sheraou b'einehem et kol atla'ah. And this is what they saw with their eyes. They saw all of the tzaras, asher avra aleihem, that they had to undergo all of the trials and tribulations and challenges. V'yitzilam Hashem b'shem shel Shakai v'amar dai l'tzarotam. And Hashem at the end of the day, or at the end of their lives, at the end of, right? He saved them. He saved them with the name of Shaddai, the Amar dai l'tzarotam. He said, guys, he said, I love you. I love you, Chevra. Enough. No more tzaras. You're good. Aval shem Hashem amor al rachamim gemurim b'li ta'arobos davar ra. But the name of Hashem is something that transcends any sense of when the tsaras are happening, that I don't feel the tsaras, that I just see it's only good, it's only chesed, I only feel the chesed, right? At all times. That's the difference. So Shakai, Shin Dalad Yud, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Gamzeh, what's our favorite line? Gamzu Latova, and what else? Gamzeyavor, right? We'll get through this. We'll get through this. We'll get through it together. We're going to be okay, right? But that's Shakai. And eventually they saw it. Eventually, it took a long time. Eventually they saw it. So they sort of saw the not the mighty hand. They saw the clap, the, you know, the frost. But then they got through it and they saw Hashem save them there. So Hashem, the name Hashem, is something that there is no tarovas davara. There is no commingling of that, of the bad. Lo zu shelo ra'u beinehem davar zeh, el afilu biyedia, outside of mofet, lo no dalehem keni Hashem meitiv lakol. They didn't see that side of God. They didn't see the side of God, the God that just, that's just, you know, giving you a hug and saying, sweetie, it's going to be okay. They saw the God that said, yeah, life's hard. Yeah, you got to do this. Yeah, it's going to be it. But trust me, it's going to be okay. Trust me, I'm here. I love you. We have a relationship. We have a partnership. It's going to be okay. Okay? I know it's not okay right now. It's going to be okay. That's the difference. That's the Shin Dalad Yud God versus the Hashem God. The Yud Ke Vav Ke Hayahu Ve V'yeh. V'im Ke Nakat Re'iyah V'yediyah V'derech Lozu Apsu. And then he gets into, you know, why it says Re'iyah versus Yediyah. Essentially, you know, Ki Ara'o Lozu Yediyah Ela Filu B'Re'iyah Ayin V'ayin Nir Elehem. Like, you know, yes, I know what you saw. I know what you dealt with. You know, he gets into this concept of Va'irah El Avraham of Yitzchak V'Yaakov B'Kel Shekai. I'll get to you one second, Jeffrey. I see your hand is up. Thank you. And then Ushmi Hashem Mono Dati Lahem. They didn't have that full recognition. They saw my salvation. They did. They saw it at the end of the day. But they didn't have the full recognition that, you know what? This is all good. It's sort of all good all the time, so to speak. Jeff. Right.
See, you see him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for sure. So I just flipped to the Kliyakar on the pasuk before Baruch Shekivanta, Jeff, which means like blessed are you for you were able to divine what the Kliyakar had said without even looking at it. When I mentioned the Moshe thing about sort of his name and you know Moshe, look, it's in you. He says it right here. He says. He says, "Ach mitzad echad yesh l'lmod zechud al Moshe shebadak mahud atzmo v'ra'ah atzmo kivad peh lashon." So look, I'm not worthy for this. I'm not worthy for this. I have a stutter. I can't. I can barely talk. Al kein chashav she'ina ra'oi l'shlichut zeh. Exactly what the Kliyakar says. And Moshe is saying, I'm not the guy. I'm not the guy. That's why when Hashem speaks to him here in the beginning of the parsha, Vayidaber ha Elohim el Moshe. Vayidaber is a lashon. It's a harsh kind of talking. Literally, it's as if Hashem is shaking him and saying, "You can do this. I'm telling you." Zemidat adin el Moshe lomar shehu ra'ui litenet adin al shelo badach bishmo Moshe. And basically saying to Moshe, I'm telling you, you have this wrong. You can do this. And look where it says, Kishmo mahuti I should be upset with you, but I'm not. Because I understand that you do have this infirmity. I understand that you are, you're feeling this tremendous amount of stress and pressure, but Ani Hashem, Moshe, I'm giving you a great big hug. And I'm saying, take my hand and we could do this. Right? And that's the difference between how Hashem relates. It's a beautiful, and I'm so glad he brought this up because it's really just beautiful how Hashem relates to Moshe versus the Avos. Because I always thought it was, I need to pull out all the stops because, Egypt's going to see that I'm amazing, that I'm, they need to see my full glory and the Jewish people need to see it. You know who else needed it? Moshe needed it. Moshe needed a hug. He needed Hashem to say, I'm with you every step of the way. You are going to be okay. That's really what happened. And what he's saying is, the way I related to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is totally different than the way I'm going to relate to you. I'm with you in this. You're not going to, you're seeing something and you feel like it's, weighing you down. No. That's over. And notice, from here on in, it's like, right? Moshe has a renewed sense of confidence. He goes in front of Pyro. He puts down the staff, the snake thing. And he's just like, all right, here, Pyro, it's starting tomorrow. You go, that's it, right? Because there's no sort of downturn here. It's only sort of on a steady incline from here. And I think perhaps it could be because it's Hashem saying with full rachamim, full compassion, just saying, Moshe, I'm with you. I'm giving you a great big hug, and we're going to do this together. Fred, you have a question. Can we unmute? Do you know how to unmute, Fred? Yes. Yeah, we hear you. Yes, we hear you. Beautiful. Beautiful. No? Yeah, Jeff? Yeah. It's a good question. It's definitely a machlokas. Definitely a machlokas. Right. That's fair. I'll give you a great shot, which I actually just told this to Aiden this morning. And I think which merely makes the most sense. And that is that in order to speak to the Pharaoh, you have to be able to speak the king's Egyptian, right? Like, speaking to the king, right? Speak the king's English. Okay. Moshe was away for 60 years, right? At the very least, even if you want to say maybe it was Latin, maybe it was 40 years, whatever. Moshe's away for 60 years. He's coming back. He says to Hashem, he's like, wait a minute. How am I going to speak to I'm an interloper. I'm a foreigner. My Egyptian is really, really, crummy. I'm not well practiced, That's, and that could be a concept of Fatek Falashon, but that also speaks to him being a foreigner to them, both to the Jews and to Paro. Like, who he's not an, he's a no, who is this guy? Right? He's an interloper. He's a carpetbagger. And that could also speak to the anxiety and the difficulty that Moshe has. Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. And I think, you know, in looking at this, it really is cool. It's a really totally different take on the way that usually, and I won't even go to the, there's a second idea he has and the third. I was going to skip to the third. I'm not even going to go there because that's like the more general way of understanding it, right? The basic way of understanding this is like, you know, it's more right. It's more like sort of divine and, you know, the way I'm going to relate and, you know, I'm going to work within nature, like I said, within nature versus totally outside of nature and the Makot and the plan and so on. But really, maybe this is just a story about Moshe and God and how they build a relationship, right? In order to give him the wherewithal to be the savior leader, you know, ultimately the redeemer of the Jewish people. And Moshe is saying, essentially, I can't do it alone. And I can't, and Hashem says, you know, I definitely dealt with the Avos in a different kind of way. I was a little bit harsher on the Avos. You know what, Moshe? I get it. I'm not going there. This task is too important and too enormous. And is so weighty and heavy and difficult for someone like you to do, but you're the one for it, that I'm going to literally just, like I said, give you a great big bear hug, and help you through it, you know, every step of the way. No more downturns. Alan? Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And the Medrash actually points out beautifully that, you know, why is it that Moshe, right, this first mission, he goes and you shoot the messenger, he's going and he's complaining to Hashem, like, what did you do? This is terrible and horrible. And they're like, how could he do this? And the Medrash says, you know why? You know how he could do that? Because he's a leader, like we said, as we began with, right? He's looking out for the people. And you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to open up a mouth to Hashem because, you know, I'm here. If I'm here as a messenger of the people, as their advocate, well, yeah, Hashem, I'm going to go to town on you. And essentially, this is really the beginning of his ascendancy as a leader, because like Fred said, yeah, this is the rest of his life is him negotiating with God on behalf of the Jewish people, whether they deserve it or not, which is really cool. And I just want to finish with one idea that I've been thinking about, you know, as we've been discussing the Shin Dalet Yud. It's such a ever-present symbol in our lives. Think about it. I was talking to a bar mitzvah class yesterday, and you know, I said, "Hey guys, you know, what do we wear on the tefillin? What letter or whatever?" And they're like, you know, they misheard me. Letter. They say, "Oh, well, Shin Dalet Yud, right? You Shakai Shin Dalet Yud on the tefillin." And the answer is, "Yeah, we sort of spell it out with its Kabbalistic formulations of Shin Dalet Yud. Where else do we see Shin Dalet Yud? Everywhere in our lives, especially during the pandemic, Where? On our mezuzahs. Hey, what does it say on the outside of your mezuzah? Shin Dalad Yud? Why? Let it say Yud Kei Vav Kei. Let it say that. Why Shin Dalad Yud? And I think the answer is, if you take this Kli Akar, whoa. Because not all of us, you know, halavai, we should be zoche to a life that Moshe had, where we only see the chesed of Hashem in every moment, at every, you know, twist and turn that life gives us. But we know that's not the way. And just like the avos and the imahos, we have difficulties, and we have trials and tribulations, and we have things that life throws our way, that God threw our way. And what we're saying, everywhere we go, right? We walk into our homes. We walk through a door. And we see the Shin Dalad Yud. We see, you know what? That's Hashem saying, I'm with you, and it's going to be okay. She'amar le'olamod, not just die le'tzaratcha. There's going to be an end to this. In the end, Emir Hashem, there'll be, tomorrow's going to be a better day. Next year's going to be a better year. There's going to be die. We could say, Emir Hashem, we'll be able to say, genig. And all of us should be zoche to really have that kavana throughout our lives. You know what? We're in good company. We're with the avos. It's good company to be in with the avos and the imahos. We're with them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's there with us as well. And he's saying to us, Dai l'tzaratchem. Enough with your distress. You're going to see good times in Mirtz Hashem in the future. Gamze ya'avor, gamzu l'tova. And God willing, we'll see good things together. Mirtz Hashem. B'mher v'yameinu. Thank you. Thank you so much. Take care. Chodesh Tova. Good Chodesh.